By looking over toward the setting sun, Doc was able to maintain his composure and not burst out in laughter.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in this Wildernessville to witness this young man, John Ridley, proclaiming his desire to join our church.
Bear walked a few paces into the dark waters, which barely reached to his knees, holding the youth's hand in his. A battered Bible was gripped firmly in the elder's left fist. The creek was only 15 feet across at its widest point, though it was flowing fast, with numerous eddies and swirling pools. But where Elder Bear was carrying out his baptism, it seemed calm and gentle.
Our Father in heaven, let your holy name be known. Let your kingdom come and your will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us today the bread that we need, and forgive us our wrongs as we forgive those who have done wrong to us. Do not lead us into trial, but save us from evil.
The preacher took two more steps into the river, bringing the water halfway between his knees and waist. Now the current was strong enough to make him stumble a little, hanging on to John Ridley's meaty hand to steady himself.
Do you, John, refute the devil, Beelzebub, and all the minions and imps of Satan, holding only to the true path of virtue and righteousness?
Yeah, I do.
The young man closed his eyes and turned his sweating face toward the sky, where he imagined the Almighty resided.
I will baptize you by immersion, as we did the apostles of old.
There, not looking behind him, took two more steps backward, leading John Ridley with him, the young man still staring blindly upward. The watching settlers were transfixed by the ritual and its protagonists. Doc was staring at the surface of the water just behind the scrawny legs of the preacher. He leaned down to whisper in Mildred's ear.
Truly doth it say that pride cometh before a fall.
What?
Watch.
Doc bared his gleaming perfect teeth in an anticipatory grin.
Prepare for the beauty and blessing, John Ridley, as I...
Suddenly, both men completely disappeared. Doc beamed proudly, as though he'd arranged the vanishing act himself.
Told you.
He'd spotted the slightly oily swirl and darker color of the river, indicating a deep, scoured hole in its bed, one that Elder Bear had stepped into, dragging the shocked young man with him. Neither man could swim, and John Ridley's bulk had flopped on top of Bear, pinning him below the surface of the creek. For several seconds, nobody moved. At that moment, the long, goat-like head of Elder Bear broke the surface.
Help! Help me! For fuck's sake, help me!
An arm came out of the water, clad in white samite, and dragged him under again. Ridley's face appeared next, purple with terror.
Lord, help me! Jesus, Father of God!
It took several moments before the settlers got it together enough to rescue their leader and his overweight apostle from the creek. Bear was semi-conscious.
That's cute.
The baptism was postponed indefinitely. The next morning, the young woman who was on watch near the engine house thought she saw something.
Smoke!
The word was carried to Elder Vare. Doc and Mildred heard the commotion and went to join the excited group of settlers.
Smoke? Where?
Hills! Seems to be in line with the rails. Is that locomotive coming back?
There was so much fear in the air that you could taste it, slick and oily on the tongue, as bitter as a mouthful of aloes. Knowing how touchy Elder Bear was about his leadership, Mildred and Doc waited for him to make his mind up about what they should do. But he stood there, mouth opening and closing slowly like a landed fish, his eyes darting nervously from side to side.
Tell us what to do, Elder!
Yeah, lead us, Elder! Guide us with your wisdom, Elder Bear!
We will go and take a look at this smoke.
Good plan.
It was undoubtedly the locomotive, heading arrow straight toward salvation, trailing smoke behind it, moving at a bare walking pace, and finally stopping in a dip in the desert about 3 miles off. The smoke faded away to nothing.
What do you figure, Doc? Are they waiting to attack us, or are we waiting for them to go away, or are they waiting for us to attack them?
I confess that I am stricken with bewilderment. If that is this legendary Skullface, then I fear that his intentions are hardly likely to be at all benevolent toward us. Would you not agree with that?
Shit, Doc. That's the way it looks to me, too.
There was like a rabbit squatting on its butt in front of a weaving rattler. He gave no orders, simply staring out across the sandy waste where the loco wag was hidden. The day wore on, and nothing happened. There was a single burst of dark smoke from the invisible engine, as though it were clearing its throat. Virtually, the whole party was grouped on that side of the ville. Food was cooked and eaten around the middle of the day, but it was a skimped and hasty affair, with everyone wanting to get back to the old engine house and watch for the action. It was only when Duck and Mildred created a fuss with a council of preachers that the menfolk of the wag train armed themselves.
If that man is the cold heart that chilled those poor wretches you buried out yonder, I hope for all our sakes that you people are ready to defend this ville.
Reluctantly, everyone carried a blaster, but there was no attempt at organizing any defense if the party aboard the locomotive should launch an attack on Salvation. Toward the end of the afternoon, Doc came upon Mildred sitting alone on the shaded porch of one of the Main Street houses. She was holding her head in her hands.
Migraine plaguing you?
She looked up, and the old man was taken aback at the look of worry on her face.
Got a bit of a headache, but that's not it, Doc. I'm concerned.
About the loco waiting out there?
No. Well, that's part of it, but not the main thing.
Doc sat down by her.
Then share your concern, my dear Mildred. I'm all ears, as it were.
That's likely Skullface out there?
I would have thought that it was a touch more than just conceivable.
We heard about what a danger he was, a force for evil, and we saw what's probably the remains of his sport with those bodies.
Indeed. But I confess, I don't quite see where all this is leading.
Look, the train appears and then sits and waits, so every mother's son is out that side watching it. Doesn't anything occur to you, Doc?
Not really. Am I being very dense?
As thick as a pair of house bricks, Doc. You've ridden with Ryan for a long time. Hasn't anything rubbed off on you?
A little. I don't believe that I'm quite such a nice person as I once was.
They both looked up at the sound of the locomotive whistle.
There.
Signal?
If you were the Skullface and you knew that we could probably defend against a straight-on attack from the railroad, what might you do, Doc?
I might... Ah.
Doc's eyes widened.
I might well bring the locomotive in to draw everyone's attention and then send some of my men in a wide loop to the south and come in along the same blacktop that we did and take everyone by surprise.
Right. Let's go talk to Elder Vair.
Mildred stood and brushed dust off her dark blue pants, then realized that Doc's attention had been caught by something behind her, farther up the street toward the blacktop.
Turn slow and easy.
What is it, Tanner?
Mayhap. It is too late, I'm afraid.
There were at least a dozen men in camouflage jackets and pants coming toward them, all carrying blasters. There wasn't a single shot fired. The surprise attack, following precisely the pattern that Doc had imagined, took the settlers by surprise. Most of them were still gazing vacantly out across the flatland toward the locomotive. There were 18 men and 3 women in the assault group, nearly all of them armed with M16s, and they appeared from the hills behind the ville. A shouted command from a tall, slant-eyed man with a tiny mustache warned Elder Vair and his traveling congregation that they were prisoners. Blasters clattered in the dirt, and hands were raised.
Come on, people! Time to take these little cheats!
Doc and Mildred had been able to hide their own weapons under the porch of the house where they'd been sitting before the attackers reached them and swallowed them up. It was a poor consolation in the face of such an overwhelming defeat. Doc was more worried about what Ryan would say.
You'll be so disappointed that I've let him down so badly, Mildred.
I'm not sure disappointed quite covers it.
One of the gang was carrying a beat-up signal pistol, but it worked efficiently, discharging a starburst of green and scarlet that hung for a few moments over the concealed train before vanishing. Under armed guards, the settlers were walked away and made to stand in silent rows on the cobbled stones in front of the engine house.
Come on, move it!
From where they stood, they could quickly hear the noise of the engine and see the dark smoke that plumed from its stack. Less than 5 minutes later, the locomotive eased to a halt, just a few yards short of the turntable in front of them. Doc strained to his full height to see how many were on the train and to catch a glimpse of the legendary Skullface. But a woman guard with a barely healed scar that ran from her left eye to the right side of her mouth jabbed at him with the muzzle of her blaster.
Oh! I really am most awfully sorry.
The old man managed a half bow. Mildred had noticed that most of their captors had a swarthy complexion, as if they came from close to the Grandee, and they wore a sort of uniform, like sec men. Elder Vair stood a little to their left, a his arm protectively around the shoulder of his blonde daughter. Though he was trembling, the preacher was struggling to keep control of himself. He'd made one brief attempt to lead the others in a prayer, but the man with the mustache had stepped in close to him and touched him.